with me. Father God, we are grateful that we get to come together and fellowship and pray for one another and care for one another. Thank you, Lord, that we get to come in the middle of the week to have a study together from your word. May this principle today, God, minister to us. May it strengthen us today, Lord God. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your principles. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. You may take your seat as we stay in Hebrews 10. Two verses that really stand out in Hebrews 10 is verse 24 and 25. Again, thank you for those who are watching online, giving online. It says a lot and it means a lot to this ministry that you do take care of it by your prayers and your fellowship and your stewardship. And those who are here tonight in God's house, as the study is over, we ask that if you have an offering, there will be somebody at the door to pick up that offering for the glory of God and the honor of the Lord. Now, this study tonight is essential and vital because it helps us understand that we can't not do any of this alone, that we do need each other, and that we do need to understand the concept that iron sharpens iron. Also, it's the illustration of hot coal. If you take it out of the stove and you put it aside, sooner or later, it's going to dull. It's the fire is going to quench. The way they stay hot is they have to be together at all times. And so what happens is people feel or think that they don't need to have church, that they don't need to have fellowship. They think that they don't need to have a support system. I think it's an error to think that way. We do need that. I want to say almost it is a commandment from God that we do gather together when we are able to gather together. And so one of the red flags or triggers of not staying focused is they begin to drift. I know I've drifted, and I know others have drifted, not backslidden, but just from the passion of God or the passion of Jesus Christ or the importance of staying focused on the things of God. People drift. It's normal, but you have to have the right people around you to you feel comfortable and okay that they say, hey, my brother and my sister, I haven't seen you in church in a couple of weeks. Everything okay? Oh, I got busy doing this, doing that. They say, everything's okay. That's called encouragement, not to forget the fellowship, not forget that this walk with the Lord we cannot do by ourselves. Let's read verse 24 and 25 together. And this is why I say it's almost a commandment. But it says in verse 24, it says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and to do good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as some has already done. I added a little bit there. But exhort one another. So much more as you see the day approaching. What day is approaching? Let's be honest with ourselves tonight. We believe that Jesus is coming. And every day that passes by, it just gets closer of that coming. Well, what if he don't come in 50 years or 100 years? It's still one day closer. We've been hearing it. My grandmother just passed away, 93. She grew up in the church. And my mother heard her say thousands of times that Jesus is coming. I've heard my mom say, Jesus is coming. My children have heard us say, Jesus is coming. It's just one step closer to the things of God. Now, here's a principle that I want you to kind of ponder tonight, because we cannot let ourselves drift. We really need to be among people. We cannot isolate. Iron sharpens iron. And the reality is that fellowship is important. I love small groups. How many have heard this in the Bible? Where there's two or three, there I am in the midst of them. I love small groups. You've heard me say this. I belong to a couple of support groups. I go to them because I need the fellowship. I need that love of one another. I need to be challenged. I need to be stirred up. I need to know that I'm loved by people in that support group. This is what I love about New Beginnings, because we believe in gathering together and having food. Somebody say amen to that. That's one of the best attractions is food, especially if I know somebody that cooks good food. Man, I'm going to be the first one in line. I guess nobody food. Do you know that when they had food, 5,000 showed up? When they had a prayer meeting, only 120 showed up? So tell me what attracts people together, prayer or food? So thank God for food. And so we need somebody to push us, not in the negative way, but in the positive way. We need somebody to say, come on, let's do this. Come on, it's okay. I know how you're feeling. I know what you're going through. I know you're disappointed. I know you're going through a rough time. I know this is hard times, but come. Or let's all gather together and watch Pastor Bobby online, or come to the house of God online, because we need this. Because it is through the journey where we experience the breakthroughs that we need in our lives. And that is why Jesus prepared the way, again, with that fellowship with one another. It's vital to say, and I know people look at you cross-eyed when you say you have a fellowship with God. I work for God. I have a relationship with God. I know they look at us cross-eyed, but that's the ultimate Christian faith. That's the ultimate dogma of faith. That's the ultimate doctrine of faith, is that we get to have fellowship with the God that created the heavens and the earth. We need that. That's important that we need. And again, as we help one another, I love what verse 24 says. It says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Do you know what that means in the English? Irritate. To the place where you irritate your brother and sisters in Christ. It's where, like, man, I'm not going to answer. There's Joe again on the phone. He's calling me to come to that men's fellowship. Oh, there's that phone call. They're bothering me, and it's almost to that. But you know what? That's good love. That's good care. That's good compassion. If we didn't care, you would not get a call from me. But many of you have gotten phone calls from me, especially if I haven't heard from you in 2 weeks. If I don't see you online, or I don't see you in the house of God. You know, people like to keep things private, but there I am calling. Oh, there's Pastor Bobby. What are we going to tell him? Just need to take a little drink. Is that okay? In the house of God, it's just water. Let's read verse 19 real quick. I like this part right here, because what I've just been saying to every one of you about the significance of Jesus Christ being our high priest. We get to go to him who's our advocate. He is our intercessor. we get to go to God because we get to enter in through the blood of Jesus. But if we start there in verse 19, therefore, brothers, having boldness, okay, once you have boldness or confidence to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way in which we are consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, having a high priest over the house of God, let us, plural, draw near with a true heart, fullness of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. Faithful. So that's why I think it's important that we get around the right people. We get around the people that you see their action, you see their fruits. They love the Lord. They won't judge. They have a balanced life. They practice the simple principles and precepts of God. These are people that they're genuinely concerned about our affairs in life. Those people are important. Now, sometimes, somebody say sometimes. So those who are watching, somebody say sometimes. Sometimes we have to be proactive. What does that mean? Well, nobody's called me to go to that support group. Hey, they don't need to call you, just show up. That's proactive. And you know what? I heard they have a men's group, a women's group. I heard they have a recovery group. They have a couples group that they have. They have a women's group. I think I said that. They have Bible study. They have Bible school. They have church on Sunday. They have outreaches. Hey, just go. I said, man, I wanted to be here. You'd be surprised how much they say, man, I'm glad you came because we could use your assistance and your support. So, that word, stir up, okay, it doesn't mean to go and cause problems. It doesn't mean to go and cause division. It just means that you're part of the solution. You're part of the answer. You're not part of a click group. I mean, I don't know how many times I've heard that, and I always stand up for New Beginnings. New Beginnings does not have no clicks. And if they are, they won't last very long. I don't believe in cliques. I believe in fellowship. I believe in being there for one another. You've heard me say it over and over. I want to be known from this day forward. We're a praying church. We are a praying family. We are a praying people. And not only are we a praying people, but New Beginnings will always be there. And they'll do their best to make sure they can help you during your good times, your bad times, or your difficult times, because that's what we want to stand for in Jesus' name. So stir up, okay, is important because it indicates and it stimulates that you are encouraged and motivated others to the faithful God. How many here honestly believe that Almighty God is a faithful God? Yes. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And I know you've seen me do this illustration many, many, many times. This is God. He doesn't move. This is us. Why? We have a free will. We can get close to God or we can move away from God. That's where you people drift. They drift away. And there's about a million reasons why people drift away. But everybody has the right and the privilege to come back and have fellowship with God and get close and stay there. The key is staying there. And so all I am saying is the key is staying there is knowing that iron sharpens iron. You love your children. I know you do. And you want the best for them. And I know you do. You want the best for them. Part of loving them is disciplining them, correcting them, guiding them, rebuking them, and sometimes looking at them cross-eyed. That works. Though you know, just all you had to do was just look at them, and it was business time. And so that is the same way when it comes down to watching you grow, watching you grow up. And that right there is the key where I believe believers need one another. I get this question asked, and I always run from the answer because I don't like to argue as much as I used to back in the day. When I got saved, I was going to Bible school, and this guy wanted to argue with me about the Bible every day. So I argued with him. I mean, we argued. We didn't debate. We argued. But what that made me do is that when I would get, I felt like I got trapped or I got beat up by him, I would go home and I would study 2-3 hours. And that the next day, there we go again. We're supposed to be working. And there we are, because we're the only two people in the building, there we are arguing about who is right. And that's not what this is about. This is about knowing that we need one another to support one another. And there are times God will say, you know, I have them. You know, that's their battle. This is your battle. But when you care about somebody, God is stirring you up to care about that person. And if that person just, again, doesn't want the help, then you just basically say to them, I'm here for you. When you're ready for my assistance, my support, I am here for you. Quickly, let's run to 1 John. That's the couple of last books before the book of Revelation. You got 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. Let's go to 1 John, okay? People argue with me about, can you be a Christian and not go to church? And on one side, there are people who can gather together and be Christians, but they're not experiencing the gift that God gave the church. Ephesians 4 tells us the gift. You got to utilize the gift that God gave the church. And Ephesians 4 tells you what that gift is, okay? Can a sheep encourage another sheep? Do you need a shepherd to have a covering and protection? When I make phone calls, people said, oh, Pastor, I'm not going back to New Beginnings. I'm listening to this person on TV, and man, I'm getting blessed, and I'm sending them my offering. And I said, you know, that's really good. But let me ask you one question. Now, there might be a little bit of sarcastic in it, but not a lot. I'm just giving you a little warning up front. I says, if somebody in your family dies, will that person come and do your family's funeral? Does that person know who you are? If you need counseling, will they come and counsel you? If you need someone to talk to, do you think they'll come and talk to you? And I said, all that is good, but every human being, I believe, needs a shepherd, needs a pastor. And they say it humbly and teachably and a little bit of pride and say, I have a pastor. You don't know how many funerals I do that don't have a pastor. And you know how difficult it is to get behind the pulpit and preach and teach to those wonderful people about how important it is to have a pastor? And since I'm on a little roll tonight, every family member should have some kind of life insurance for the family. Don't leave your family hanging. If anything, if you like to smoke cigarettes and drink, get rid of it. Save that money and buy you a life insurance so that way when you leave, that burden is not left with the family. I haven't eaten dinner yet, so that's probably why I'm behaving the way I'm behaving tonight. And I believe that everybody needs a church. I don't know how you can separate Christ and the church. Here's what I say. Is Christ the church or is the church Christ? Well, one thing, we're not Christ, but Christ is not the church, but the church is Christ. We represent Jesus. That's who we represent. You don't represent New Beginnings. You represent Jesus Christ. Then you represent New Beginnings. And with your shoulders squared and say, where do you go? I go to New Beginnings. It's a crazy place, but that's where I go. What about that pastor? He needs a little help, but man, that's why I'm there to pray for him. Amen. 1 John chapter 3, you there? I'm going to get there with you. It's just a little dry in here, but we'll get it going. Now, Christians make up the church and provide strength for one another. We do need strength. We need each other to provide strength. Compliment. Say the word compliment. Those who are watching, compliment. What's a good sign of a good relationship? They compliment. What's a sign of a good church? They compliment. Everyone has strength. Everyone has weakness. Everyone has shortcomings. Everyone has come short of the glory of God. But thank God for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine if all my wife ever did was look at my shortcomings? She would have hung me the first year we were married. 41 years later, she's still believing God for a miracle. Amen? Right? Okay? So it's the same thing with our walk with the Lord. You know, America has only been around a little over 200 years. And the Israelites were in bondage for 400 years. God's timing is not our timing. God's never late. He's always on time. So that is why we don't do this alone. And when I run into the Long Rangers, the Lone Rangers and the, you know, I don't need a shepherd, I don't need a pastor, and I don't need a church, that they scare me, and I feel bad for them because somewhere they drifted from the basics of the commandment of God. Do not forsake the assembly of together. Of coming together in Jesus' name. So we Christians make up the body of Christ. Everyone is needed, and whatever that is, no need is important than another need. Now, positions are different. Positions are calling from God, but the need, that's all of our calling, is to take care of each other as best we can. Now, let me stop here for a moment. He didn't call us to be enablers, okay? Didn't call us to do that. How do you know if you're an enabler? Very simple. If you are working harder than them to walk with the Lord, you are almost an enabler. They got to want this as bad as you do. You can't want it more than they do, so you have to take that step back. I had to learn that with my children. And when you learn with your children, you pray that they will all find a relationship with God so that way it becomes genuine. Okay? All right. 1 John chapter 3, time's flying. Let me get this real quick and then we'll make our way. Verse 10. In this is the children of God and the children of the devil are revealed, manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor he who does not have love or love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning. that we should what? Love one another. That's what Hebrews 10 said. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked and one who murdered his brother. And why did he murder? Because the works were evil and his brother was righteous. There's only two categories here. Either we're practicing righteousness or we're practicing evil. Do not marvel, my brothers, if the world hates you, for we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brother, and he who does not love his brother abides in death. And whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to not lay down our lives for our brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and see his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. By this we know that we are the truth, and it shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn, just a little bit more reading, for if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, and he knows all things, beloved. He went from little children to beloved. If our hearts does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And whoever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments, and we do these things that are pleasing in his sight. One more verse. This is the commandment, that we should believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, love one another, and he gave us his commandments. Wow. Pretty clear, isn't it? It's powerful. And so we can't do this alone. We need each other. Our growth depends on making sure we are supporting. There was these, if I remember the illustration, just sometimes when I'm speaking and teaching, I hear some things that I heard a long time ago, and I heard this long time ago. There was people who were trapped, and they couldn't feed themselves. But the way they overcame that and supported each other, they learned to feed each other. Wow. I like that. And so when we learn to feed each other and take care of each other, it is a very powerful commandment that we are practicing. We say amen to that. We're not alone. This is an evil world. I don't need to spend much time there. You understand. It's an evil world. We're not alone. It is the atmosphere of worship and fellowship. In God's house, we discover we're not alone. And I love that. One of God's principles is to have a close relationship with people. I know the insight, because the closer you get to people, the more you realize grace is real. That's what you should realize, that grace is real. And without grace, none of us would be alive. None of us would be alive without grace. And we watch each other grow. We watch each other stumble. We watch each other drift, but we watch them. What I love about New Beginnings, when somebody hasn't been here for a season or two and they walk in, they just greet them like, man, missed you. Let me tell you why I said that. People who have drifted away and people have made bad decisions, and I've heard this 1,000 times. For every time I heard it, they gave me a dollar, I'd be a millionaire. I'm too ashamed to go back. They'll judge me. That's what I've heard. I'm too shameful to come back. They'll judge me. And I look at them and say, shh. They'll be like, if you're a prodigal, they're like the father. The moment they see you, they'll put a smile on, and they'll just hug you, and they'll just tell you, man, I missed you. I've been praying for you. That right there, I've heard 1,000 times from people here at New Beginnings. Amen. One more verse, then I'll call it quits. And let's go to 2 Timothy. Hopefully I can drink some more of this good water. While you're finding 2 Timothy, I want you to go to chapter 4. And I will close with that. Well, you are finding 2 Timothy chapter 4. Just a friendly reminder of Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, live stream here. Next Wednesday, we will not meet here. We will all be hopefully at the fellowship. The outreach at Bessemer Park. If you want to help, bring stuff, be there by 11 o'clock. And help set up, help ready, and hopefully people will come because they're hungry and they need some clothes. We'll be giving out some flyers about New Beginnings so they'll at least say, who fed you today? Oh, some church, I don't know where it's at, it's called New Beginnings. And that right there is a testimony in itself. Thank you for those who are online to give online. We thank you for that. It means a lot. Don't forget, because some of you probably say, I'll do it tomorrow, the next day, a week passed by, and you still haven't done it. Please do that tonight while the study is over. Again, those who are here, thank you for being good stewards. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And Paul wrote this letter to his loyal co-workers. More likely, Paul was in prison. At the end of his life, and he knew it was the end of his life, why did he request Timothy's presence at this time? Let's find out. He says, be diligent, verse 9, come to me quickly, for one of our friends, Demas, has forsaken me, having loved this present world. He's departed to Thessalonica, Galatia, Titus, and then it says that why this is important is because you do want to get around people that will support you and help you walk in the journey of God. And that is why I underscore the interactions. You'll know, and it's okay to say, you know, that's somebody that won't support me, that's somebody that won't help me, that's somebody that's not the right person, and that's okay. Because you need to find that person or that group or that study that's going to continue to strengthen you and support you in the things of God. All right. So, yes, I'm going to say it loud and clear because I love the body of Christ. We do need to be part of a church. Yes, you can gather together and say, that's your support, but you need the gifts according to Ephesians 4, and you do need a physical shepherd, not so much a, you already have your spiritual shepherd, but you need someone that will call your church, your clergy, your pastor, your priest, your rabbi, and be comfortable about it. The body of Christ isn't complete without you. If you're missing, there's a piece missing. God orchestrates, God networks where everybody should be. And I'm grateful that God has planted good people that know their place, know their role, know their work, and say, that's what I do for God in the kingdom of God. That's what I do to support the body of Christ because that's my part, and that's important. So I'll leave you with this. Meeting regularly with other believers will help spur in your faith. It'll help you along with your faith. Meeting with people, whatever that may be, under the umbrella of New Beginnings, with the men, the women, the youth, the children, whatever we have available. Fellowship with other Christians will help safeguard against drifting. I'm looking around the house of God, and I always review those who connect with us online. We know people who have drifted.